We're finishing up the book of Jonah, a book that shook my life. And my question to you is, what happened to you after listening to Jonah? Has anything happened? And I mean it seriously. Has anything happened to you? Okay. Do you expect something to happen to you? Or do you just listen? You know, I think it is a wonderful thing for you to expect. That's what faith is, isn't it? And it is impossible to please God without faith unless you believe that He exists and He rewards those earnestly seek Him. Has your life impacted by the Word of God? And do you expect it to impact? Well, the title of the message for today, as we go through the overview of the book of Jonah, is The Sign of Jonah. Okay, if you could just look up here, okay. What's a sign? I think the best way to describe it is I went to seminary for 11 years, to get my master's degree to be ordained as a pastor. It took me a long time, and last 5 years I commuted to Philadelphia. So I used to drive to all the way to Philadelphia for 5 years, every Tuesday or Thursday, sometimes twice a week. So it was a long drive, and I remember leaving the house early in the morning, sometimes 4 a.m, and then come back around midnight or 1 o'clock. So when I am driving back to New York, I'm driving and I'm half sleeping. I'm literally half sleeping. And I used to stick my head out just to wake up, you know, outside of the window. And when I see a sign that says, New York City, 70 miles, my soul rejoices. Oh, man, that means I could get home in 1 hour, okay? When I see the sign, my soul rejoices because I know I'll be home in 1 hour. That's a sign. Sign is important, but sign is not the real thing. Do you understand that? Sign is very important. Sign is real, but that is not the reality that it is pointing toward to. It's much greater. Can you imagine New York City? Okay, people of God, can you imagine New York City? Can you contain it in one sign? Right? And Jesus said, Jonah is the sign, but I am the New York City. Do you understand that? Someone greater than Jonah. How much greater? No. Infinitely greater. Okay? Jesus said, it is the Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus. That's what it is about. Is your Christianity about Jesus, or is it about you? Okay. In Matthew chapter 12, in today's text, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. Sign of Jonah. Jonah is a sign. Okay, that's the shadow. But you can't really enjoy, just be satisfied with the shadow. You got to see the real thing. Just as Jonah was in the belly of fish for 3 days and 3 nights, I, Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. What is he talking about? Resurrection. One thing that separates Christianity and the gospel from everything else, all the ideologies and all the religion, is resurrection. Do you believe in resurrection? If not, you do not believe in the gospel. You don't. Because that is the sign. Jesus said, Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. He's referring to the resurrection, and that is the greatest sign that Jesus, God, has revealed to history. Did you know that? Right? A sign is a semeion, a Greek word, meaning a miracle or supernatural miracle, event, wonder, that really points toward to power and presence of God. So we love miracles, like someone's eyes are open, cancer healed. But that's just a sign. What it really is about is the reality of God. How much is God greater than small miracle? Infinitely greater. Is your Christianity like that? You know, I was just worshiping today. I was thinking, depends on your view of God. You could build on top of that. If God, you build your whole life upon and your faith upon is down here somewhere, that's all you're going to do, and that's how our church will be. But what kind of God has God revealed himself in the book of Jonah? Small God? Petty God? I don't think so. I don't think so, people. Okay? So, sign is just the pointer toward reality, much greater reality. So is Christianity about better your family? Christianity is about getting a good spouse? Is Christianity about you getting a better job? Is it Christianity about getting to medical school? No, it's not. That is so lopsided. That is such a blasphemy. That's such an idolatry. Right? The sign is just the pointer to the great reality, the infinitely great reality of God you must face. You do, people. Okay? So Jonah is the sign, and Jesus, Yeshua, is the real thing. Okay? So the greatest sign to the world and to you is resurrection. Let's go back to resurrection. Okay? Resurrection. Historic resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is that the greatest sign? That's just a sign. Because it proves that, number one, Scripture says that Jesus is God. Do you understand that? You're not, I'm not, but Jesus is God. The second reason why the resurrection is such an important topic is because Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, God has fixed a day, listen, on his Google calendar, right? God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and the proof of all that was by raising him from the dead. In other words, God's going to judge through the person who was resurrected. Judgment, and he's God. That's why. Now, you level it. Is your Christianity about that? Or is it about improving my marriage? Although that is a wonderful thing. Is it about getting a better job? Is it about having a peace? No, it's infinitely greater than that. Okay? So Jonah's story is the sign. So what does the book of Jonah teach? And I thought, and if you would just bear with me, it is made up of four chapters, and I'm going to go by chapter by chapter. I'll go pretty fast, but if you would listen. Okay? Chapter 1, let's begin. It begins with a commission. God commanding, commissioning Jonah on a mission, isn't it? Hey, Jonah. It begins with God. Hey, Jonah, I want you to go, arise and go and preach against it. It begins with a commission. You know, Christianity begins with God and commission. God called you. That's why you're sitting here. Okay? Sovereign God's calling of God. On a mission, so it is a missionary calling, if you would. God is sending, which means mission, and it is about missionary calling of the Lord God. So it is about the Great Commission. Great Commission, people. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. Who is that command to? It's to you. It's to you, to me. That's why you're redeemed. That's why you're a Christian. That's why you're a church, redeemed by grace of God. I was listening to a message this morning, someone that I sometimes dread to listen to, but I listened to him. And he said this argument: if you do the way you do Christianity, if you do that effort and love and your heart with your job, will you have a job next week? He said, with that kind of love and affection and your attitude toward God, if you do your family and marriage, will you have a family next year? Oh, and I was listening to them. That's such a logical argument, isn't it? If you do the way you do Christianity, way you view Christianity, will you have a salvation? That's a really good argument. And then he said something I really believe in, all my heart. It's all or nothing. All or nothing, people. Look at me. All or nothing. All or nothing. All or nothing. All right? So it begins with Great Commission. Is your life about Great Commission? Right? Go and make disciples of all nations. And everything that you live for, everything that you exist for, everything you work for, and everything that you get married for, everything that you have a children for, and everything that you want to raise children well for, is that for His commission and His Great Commission? If not, you're missing the whole ball game, isn't it? Someone idolized marriage. Someone idolized their child. Someone idolized their body. I think this generation does that. They idolize their body. Someone idolizes their reputation, right? Is everything you live for, everything you exist for, everything you work for, everything you're studying for, everything, right? We have been called to this Great Commission as a redeemed people of God. And that's how the chapter begins. However, the response of Jonah was rejection, willful disobedience. How about you? How about you? Seriously, I'm asking you. How about you? Is Christianity man-centered or God-centered? Think about it, people. It begins with rejection, and Jonah, instead of rise and go and preach against it, he fled. And he turned his back and he ran away. It's one or the other. All or nothing. All or nothing. In other words, Jonah refused to obey or disobey the Lord, his sovereign calling. That's what I've been sharing. In 1985, when I went, 1987, excuse me, when I went to Urbana 87, listen to Ajis Fernando. I'm not even sure whether he's alive or not. He's a scholar from Sri Lanka. Very unlikely for you to listen to. But he was speaking to 20,000 young men and women like yourself. Are you obeying his calling? Okay? And it shook my life. What happened to you after restudying the book of Jonah? Oh, that's nice, nice, nice. Okay, I get it. But what happened to you? That's my question. What happened to you? Okay. I think Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, the story could have ended. Jonah disobeyed, and that's the end. That's Jonah's life. That's the story of Jonah. That's the sign of Jonah. I think that's fair. Right? I think that's fair. Jonah chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, story ended. Life ended. He lived happily ever after. I think that's fair. But Jonah's story continues. You know why? Because God is at act. One thing I noticed about Book of Jonah, if you read Book of Jonah and be fair to it, each chapter, at the end of each chapter, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, Jonah's life could have ended. Still fair and amazing story. You know, can you imagine? He wanted to die, but God saved him. His physically, That's an amazing miracle, isn't it? So chapter 1, we could have stopped right there, story of Jonah, and it's still an amazing story. And then chapter 2, he's in the belly of fish, and God turns his heart. Amazing story. We could have stopped there. Chapter 3, he uses this half-hearted man and bring in the greatest revival in history. Wow, we could stop there. And then there's chapter 4, right? And then perhaps more. So at the end of each chapter, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, Jonah's story could have ended still so fair and amazing, yet the Lord God continues to act. Do you get it? He continues to act and do something for this disobedient, stubborn, hard to relate to, petty, ridiculous person like Jonah, like you and me, right? What's that? What do we call that? Something that Jonah totally undeserving, and yet God acts? We call that grace. We call that grace, people, right? That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, chapter 1 ends with God's act. What's God's act? God appointed a fish and told fish to swallow Jonah. To kill him? No. To save him. That's the act of God. Chapter 2, Jonah, who should have been dead, I think he should have been dead. He wanted to die, and he was thrown into the raging sea, into the middle of the great tempest, a storm, and should die, of course. Yet Jonah's story continued because his life was spared. The only reason you're sitting, you and I are here today is because he spared your life. You understand that? Okay. By Lord's miraculous provision of a great fish. However, we've been talking about the greater miracle, which I really believe it is Jonah really turned and he became converted. Does that happen to you? Did that happen to you? Right? In the belly of the fish, in the belly of Sheol, which means hell, right at the gate of hell, in the sea grave, the root of it, at the gate of sea grave, he surely thought his life was over. Moreover, he thought God has abandoned him, and he should. But it was there, just like the prodigal, Jonah said, when life, my life is ebbing away, I remember the Lord, and he turned. Remember that? Has that happened to you? Seriously, people. Seriously, has that happened to you? Jonah's heart was turned. Yashab, that's the key word. His heart was turned. 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 Instead of running away, fleeing, turn your back against him, you turned. Have you turned? Have you turned? Just like Thomas in John chapter 20. Remember John chapter 20? After the resurrection of Jesus. And Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared in front of the 10 disciples. So he said, just like he has Jonah's spirit, I will never believe unless I see. I want to see a sign, right? And to that Thomas, the resurrected Jesus appeared just for him. And his heart was melted. And he exclaimed, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. Jonah in the belly of the fish, he confessed and exclaimed the same word, oh Lord, my God. Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? Okay. And then he exclaimed, salvation belongs to the Lord, which means salvation comes, only comes from Yeshua. It's about Jesus, isn't it? That's Christianity. Salvation is not your work. It's God's work. It's not your act. It's God's act. That's what this book is about. Do you see it? He said, salvation belongs to the Lord. Yeshua, right? Hebrew name for Jesus, which means Lord is salvation. So how does chapter 2 end? It ends with God's act. What's the God's act? Verse 10, last verse says, and the Lord spoke to the fish. You know, he speaks to fish and speaks to worms and speaks to plant, and they all obey, but Jonah doesn't obey. Don't you find that ironic? Do you obey him? He speaks to fish, he speaks to worm, and he speaks to a plant. They all obey, but Jonah doesn't obey. So he spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. And I was kind of thinking about that. What did God say to that fish? Because I think about fish at times, right? He probably said something like that, fish, arise and go vomit when I tell you to do so, right? He cannot vomit into the middle of the ocean, right? He has to vomit in vomit him into the land. I want you to go and obey. At this point, end of chapter 2, the story of Jonah could have ended right there. Amazing story, isn't it? God saved his physical life miraculously, Simeon, and God saved his soul, which is an amazing. How many of you heard that kind of testimony? Have you ever heard of a testimony? Do you have a testimony like that? We don't hear testimony like that often. Even if Jonah chapter 2 ended right there, I think it's still an amazing story. But there is chapter 3, right? Chapter 3, Jonah's story continues. Or should I say God's story of great kus continues. God's pity continues, right? Chapter 3 begins with an amazing statement of grace. Listen to this. Remember this? Verse chapter 3, verse 1 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah second time. Second time. God gives you second chance. Are you obeying? God saved you. Are you obeying, people? If you were to do your job the way you do Christianity, will you have a job next week? I think that's a great logic. It's kind of embarrassing logic. If you do your family the way you're doing Christianity, will you have a family next year? If not, you're worshiping idols. You're worshiping idols. It's completely lopsided right now. Okay? God calls Jonah, who gave much headache and heartache, the second chance, second life, a new life. Totally redeemed. Totally saved by grace. Miraculous Simeon. That's what salvation is. That's what Christianity is. And he calls them again. He calls him again to Great Commission. I want you to go. Arise and go and preach the message that I told you to preach. This time, Jonah went, and he obeyed, and he went, and he preached the message of God as a messenger, as a missionary. So he was a missionary to this foreign nation, the capital city of Assyrian Empire, the great city of Nineveh. And it was a simple message of impending judgment. Look at me, please. 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Message of destruction and message of judgment. And can I just speak to you? Soon you will stand before God, all of you. Don't lose me. Soon you will stand before the judgment of God. You will. Soon you will stand before the judgment of God. You will. Soon. When? 40 days? No, I don't know about 40 days, but soon. God does not specify exact time, but he fixed a day. It's in the Google calendar. Mark your calendar too, right? It has been fixed. And it's going to judge by this man he has appointed. And the proof of that man is the resurrected Christ, the resurrection. There's only one man resurrected in history, and he's alive. And it proves that he's God, and he's the one who's going to do it. Okay? So it wasn't a pleasant message. It was not a, quote, blessing message. Yet, to everyone's total surprise, unthinkable happened, right? What happened? The entire city believed God. Do you believe in God? Nineveh did, to Jonah's sign. And you have sign of someone much greater, infinitely greater, resurrection. And do you believe? We have a history of Christianity in front of us. Do you believe? We have martyrs, people. We have the scripture. We have the spirit. We have the history, Christian history. And we have Jesus' resurrection. Do you believe? That's what Jesus said to people. And that's what he's speaking to you. And still you are, I don't know, playing the game, right? Contemplating. So entire city believed, and they humbled themselves, and they repented. Have you humbled yourself and truly repented? In fact, a king made a decree for the entire city to repent and turn from your violence, your idolatry, your sickness, and your sin, and pray greatly, exceedingly, right? And that's the miracle of God that he has performed. That's the Simeon. That's the sign of Jonah. But we have a greater sign, the sign of someone much greater than Jonah, right? So how does chapter 3 ends? It ends with God's act again, God acting again. So what's God's action? When they repented, truly ashamed, God saw what they did. Do you know, when you repent, he sees that? And when you don't repent, he sees that as well. He does. He does. He sees what they did, how they repented. He relented from the destruction and judgment that they deserved. Act of God. Act of God. Last chapter 4. Could you just think with me? If Jonah's story ended at chapter 3, do you think that's an amazing story? I think that's an amazing story. Have you ever heard of a story like this? Someone who going on a missions, and the entire city repented. It's an amazing story, isn't it? We could have it ended right there. I think it is totally a great place to stop. Jonah's story ended with chapter 3, with chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's an amazing story of a person. But it's not about Jonah, right? So we go to chapter 4, and those of you who read chapter 4, there are 11 verses, and when you read them, what kind of emotion do you get? Jonah is such an idiot. Such a petty, stubborn, impossible to talk to. Have you met anyone like that? It's just impossible to talk to. They're out there. Maybe they're in here too. Maybe you're in that mode right now. Impossible to talk to because I am so right. Someone who is always thinking I'm right. Even to God, he feels he's right. Right? So, chapter 4 is something like that. I mean, who really cares about this man? God's mission is done. 600,000 men has been saved. Great mission of God. Great work of God. Kingdom work is done. And why is there chapter 4? I mean, I really think about this question. What's chapter 4 about? God was pleased and God was rejoicing because he does not anyone to perish, which means unless you turn, you will perish. You will perish, people. That's the gospel. But you must turn. You must turn. Okay? But he wants all to reach repentance. You have to turn. You have to reach repentance. Okay? And that's what happened. And who cares about Jonah? Jonah's opinion, his displeasure and his anger. But that's what chapter 4 is about. Such an unnecessary chapter, don't you think? If you think about it. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, but Jonah, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, gadol, and he was angry. Pretty bad, isn't it? What was that displeasure about? What was he angry about? His opinion, right? How amazingly he is displeased about God's action, how God acts. He's displeased about God. That's what anger is about, his anger is about. Another way of looking at it is he was exceedingly displeased with how and what God is doing. Showing mercy. God being God, he doesn't like that. Showing mercy, sparing, pitying, tus, and being merciful, loving them. And Jonah is not pleased, right? With God being God to Ninevites, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in hesed. What's that? What do you call that? What is that? That's not something shallow, isn't it? That's not something superficial. That's something deep within you. Deep within you. That's deep within you, people. God is not concerned about your superficial thing. God cares about what you are made up of. Right? So, in this chapter, it is his anger. Anger, where is that coming from? Anger has to do with what I believe it is right. When you see something is being violated of what you believe and what you think it is right, you get very upset and angry. Anger has to do with love too. Remember I illustrated this? If you see an old lady beat up by four big guys over there, would you get upset? Would you get angry? I hope you do. You get angry. But will you do anything? Probably not. Four big guys, they may kill you. Right? You're very upset that four guys are beating up this poor lady. But I don't think you're about to do anything. Let's change the scenario a little bit. That old lady is your mother. Four big guys are beating her up. Would you get upset? Would you get angry? I bet you do. Will you do anything? I bet you will do anything. You'll pick up something and try to fight. Wouldn't you? So anger has to do with love. Anger has to do with, you know, what you truly love. And Jonah was angry. Okay. What is that? Anger has to do with what is right and what is love. And Jonah felt it is not right for God to forgive Ninevites. Okay? What is that? His rightness. I feel so right. My righteousness. My self-righteousness, which opposes God. Isn't it? That's what it is. Which opposes God so adamantly, which hated the Ninevites or the enemy. You hate Ninevites and enemy. Surely you don't think it is right for God to show mercy to them. What is that? Deep hatred, self-righteousness, anger, racism. Yeah, I think that's what racism is. I don't think racism is superficial. Do you? I think it's a deep thing. And I'm not talking about racism here. I'm talking about this deep, sinful self-rightness and righteousness issue. That's what God is exposing. I don't think chapter 4 is that necessary, but God thinks it's necessary. Right? Again, it would have been perfectly fair and perfectly good place to finish right there. He's displaced. Okay, good. Let him go. Enough is enough, don't you think? But God continues. Chapter 4 is about God dealing with one Jonah. Not Nineveh, but one Jonah. Right? Yet again, at the end of the book, God acts, and instead of God getting so irritated and frustrated with this proud and stubborn, bigoted, hard to relate, talk to Jonah, like you and me, God begins to deal with his heart. Aren't you glad? First, by simply asking a question, then a lesson, a life lesson. God's question is the same question twice. Is it right, Jonah? Would you look at me? Are you right? Are you right? Are you right? Are you right to be angry? And this is God who is infinitely righteous. Are you right? Do you think you're right and I'm wrong? That's why you're angry? And Jonah gives no answer. So God teaches Jonah a lesson, I believe, that really changed the heart of Jonah for good. Is that what you want, people? Or do you want to live like Jonah chapter 4 in the first half for the rest of your life? Feeling so right and angry. So the lesson was with a vine and a worm and a scorching east wind, right? It was a simple illustration for this sulking Jonah who went outside of the city, and God providing a vine to cover Jonah's head, quickly grown, right? God is sovereign. So it grew, and with the right perfect placement and orientation, so it covered Jonah's head. So Jonah was really comfortable because of the shade that, you know, the vine, I guess, made for him. And he was so pleased with that. What does that reveal? Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant, because of the comfort. You know what? I shared this before. One of the idol that you treasure is your comfort. Comfort. Right? That's an idol. And the next morning, God appointed a worm, a feisty one, a hungry one, and he spoke to the worm. God talked to the worm and said, "Hey, I want you to go chew up that plant." Do you see what God is doing to a worm? I want you to go and chew up that plant that Jonah, covering Jonah's head, that Jonah is enjoying so much. And the worm goes and then obeyed, right? He went and obeyed. And then God sent a scorching east wind, and he was blowing against his head, and he felt so uncomfortable. So he was so angry because he was so right. And God asked, he asked God once again, "Lord, take my life. It's not worth for me to live anymore." Right? Because he was angry. And God asked Jonah the same question. Is it right for you to be angry for the plant? Jonah, that plant you did not plant. You did not give birth. You're not the father of that plant. Literally, that's what it means. And you did not make it grow. It was freely given to you, and it was freely taken away. Besides, it only lasted one day. Okay? It was birthed yesterday, and it was perished next day. The word perish is used. And why are you so upset? Why are you so in love with that, Jonah? And then, are you right? And then Jonah, at this point, I think he went mad. He just speaks like with no sense, totally illogical, as sometimes you do and sometimes I do. When you get upset, you make no sense. It's better not for you to talk when you get upset, right? But Jonah was so mad, and he says, yes, I'm right. I'm right. And he's speaking to infinitely righteous God. I'm right. And I am so right, and I'm so angry, angry enough to die, right? So what do you do with this Jonah? I think God should let him go. Give him up. But God acts again. Verse 10 and 11 is the final act of God for Jonah in the book of Jonah. The final act of God for Jonah is this. Listen to me. Jonah, you pity the plant. You curse the plant. You love the plant. You don't want that plant to perish because it gives you joy. It gives you comfort. But that plant, you never gave a birth. I gave to you. You never made it grow. I gave to you. You never made it to cover your head. I did that. And besides, it only lasted one day. Yesterday it was birth, and today it was perished. It's only one day thing, and you treasure and you curse that much. You pity that? I pity Nineveh. Listen to me, people of God. What do you pity? What do you curse? What do you curse? That's exactly what's happening here. God reveals Jonah's heart. Real heart. God reveals his heart. Real heart. What do you curse? What do you curse? I pity Nineveh. 120,000 children and 600,000 men who do not know the difference between left and right, and they are standing condemned. And I pity them. I pity them. I curse them. People go about, do you curse New York? Do you care about New York? Do you care about Hicksville? Do you care about church members? It's a fair question, isn't it? It's a fair question. Do you curse about your comfort more? That's exactly what God did. When the heart of Jonah, the petty, selfish heart, was placed before God's missionary heart, Gadol heart, I believe his life changed. Something like that happened to me too. To testify. Okay. Let me explain the word kush one more time. 24 times it shows up in the Old Testament. Always has to do with impending judgment. God kush those who are standing condemned. God shows mercy. And it's always personal. There are about, let's say, 40 people, 50 people here. It's not 50 people cursed, but it's one person at a time. And my illustration was, I have 3 children, and I go to a park, and only 2 comes back, and it is getting dark, and I don't say to people, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, let's go home. You get that, right? God loves you, Martin Luther said, as if there is only one of you in this world. Personal. Jonah. And it's always the emotion. Always describing emotion. You know, God has emotion. God is a person. I'm a person. If you diss me, I get hurt. So don't do it. And God has emotion, people. God is jealous. God loves. God rejoices. God gets angry. God is not the wall. God is a person with emotion. Right? And lastly, The word kus is always antecedent of action, God's action. Remember, we're talking about each chapter, God's action. So what did God do after Jonah chapter 4? What was his action? We shared last week. Jonah is the sign. And he was so mad. And he was sulking. So he went out of the city and built a small house. And he basically watched what's going to happen to the city. But that God actually came. Okay, antecedent of action. Actually came and went to the city of Jerusalem. And he went outside of the city to a small hill called Calvary. Listen to me, people. Don't diss God now. Instead of building a house, he built an altar for himself, for you. And he took on the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Why? Because he's so right. He's so righteous. God cannot justify sinners. You are a murderer, you need to pay for it. God is so just and righteous. God cannot justify sinners. So how do you make him just and righteous then? That what he deserves, I'm going to pay for it. Are you listening? There is no one else who could take that penalty for you. You know why? Because they need to take their penalty for themselves. The wage of sin, penalty of sin is death. That's the final judgment, people. That's the final judgment. And he took on your sin. God made him sin. Who knew no sin? God made him sin. Who knew no sin? So that you may become righteousness of God. That you may be right with God. That's the story of Jonah. Sign of Jonah. Are you in chapter 1? Some of you may be in chapter 1 right now. Before verse 3. In fact, I believe, I'm convinced that so many people are inside the church, not obeying God at all. Are you in chapter 2? Truly have met the Lord. We call it conversion, born again, whatever you want to call it. Are you in chapter 2? Are you in chapter 3? Seeing the great work of God. I feel like last 12 years, I've seen great work of God through his church. I really have. Or in chapter 4. I want to close with this question. What happened to Jonah after chapter 4? Like, what do you mean? There is no more chapter. But don't you make you wonder, right? Did Jonah's story continue after chapter 4? And I personally have this hunch that it did, actually. God dealt with Jonah. What happened to him? If not, I don't think chapter 4 was written. So unnecessary, if you think about it. I think it is unnecessary, period, but it is written to show Jonah the way the Jonah is written in chapter 4. So what happened to Jonah after chapter 4? It is so ridiculously unnecessary, and yet it is written. And who wrote the book of Jonah? Most people agree that it was Jonah. When did he write it? Probably after chapter 4. He wrote Jonah, book of Jonah, by the inspiration of Holy Spirit, God guiding it. Right? And he is writing book of Jonah describing Jonah the way he wrote Jonah. That he is so self-righteous. If it is so self-righteous afterward, I think he will just try to justify himself in chapter 4. Do you agree? But he doesn't. He reveals his ridiculous self-righteousness, his pride, his hatred, his racism, his anger. Why? My reasonable conclusion is, I think his heart was turned. Has your heart turned? Jonah's petty heart, selfish heart, loving the vine, exceedingly glad, exceedingly sad, was head-on collision with God's missionary gadol heart. Okay? And his heart melted because God is so gracious to him. God is so merciful to him. God is so slow to anger to him. God is so abounding in love and hesed to him. God relent the disaster to him. In fact, God acted. His heart was changed. His heart was melted, transformed, continue to be transformed to the missionary heart of God. The Great Commission. It begins with Great Commission, and it ends with Great Commission, people. Church, are you listening? It's not about your marriage. It's not about your medical school. It's not about your job. It's not about your school. It's not about me. It is about him. That's the sign of Jonah, isn't it? May you and I see the God Jonah saw, so that our lives may be truly turned. Let's pray.